Blog Talk Radio. I think we're on the air. We're on the air, Neil. Welcome to the Neil and Christian Baker Psychic Hour. We were having some technical difficulties earlier. I'm going to call in to make sure we can be heard, but I'm surprised we got on because it was not letting us broadcast. So let me just do a little check and see if we're able to get on the air.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You are now in the hoop.
Yes, so we're on the air, and our music didn't play. I don't know why. 914-338-0164 is the call number. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Obviously, we're here late because Blog Talk Radio is not acting, is not operating properly. So hopefully we can be heard. I'm going to make sure that we are at other hosts are able to broadcast today too, because sometimes there's a problem across the board. It's really weird. Great. So we have someone in the chat. Snowman James can hear us. Fantastic. All right. So our listeners and callers may join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked here on our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil and Christian Baker Psychic. And let's go to the live section to see if people are actually, yeah, we are showing live. So I guess we're being heard.
Well, let's get to the caller.
We don't have a caller.
I think you said there's somebody in the chat room.
That's not a caller.
Does that person want to ask a question?
I don't know. Do you want to ask a question, chatter? No, he's not responding.
Okay, I don't know what the problem was with that.
No, it's still a problem because if I go to, if I go to a different tab on Chrome, which is the I'm not using Safari, I'm using Chrome. It see how it doesn't show our picture? Look. So there's something going on.
But we're on the air.
We're apparently on the air. We're apparently on the air.
Well, then we have some time to discuss.
Yeah, we do have some time to discuss. You know, I was thinking of how, you know, it was interesting the other night. I had this experience of where I was talking to somebody via text, and I was talking about the undercurrent of karma, and how if you give in to karma, it's like the undercurrent in the sea. It will pull you out and drown you. You'll drown in it. And it's very dangerous. And it's easy for someone who's been traumatized. In this case, this person has had a pretty traumatic life and is going through a very traumatic experience right now. For someone like her, and she's also very sensitive, it's, I can tell by her personality and her sensitivity that it's very easy for her to get overwhelmed by traumatic experiences and for her to stay in them and perpetuate, you know, because that's what will happen, perpetuate them. But the interesting thing was then watching Jeopardy, like, oh, it was undertow that I used. I used the word undertow. And then Jeopardy was on and they had a question about, or they had a question which the answer to was undertow. And I don't know when the last time I used that word was. I don't use the word undertow generally. And it was strange. You know how words will come up that you, or then, well, then another thing happened. Then a Jeopardy clue, the answer was the golden calf. And the previous day I'd been doing third eye exercise and I saw the golden calf or a ram, I don't know which, but I said, it's a golden calf or a ram on the wall behind me. And then the golden calf was on Jeopardy. I guess it means that we should go on Jeopardy. I think you'd fare better than I would.
Yeah.
I'm good at certain categories, but you know, you've got to be pretty broad. You've got to have a broad base of knowledge.
Yeah, it's a fun show. You know, that show demonstrates just a retainment of knowledge. It doesn't apply to really
skill.
Intelligence.
Well,
it's
yeah,
just
but you
the
think
knowledge somehow more knowledge is not. It's what a person knows, and a lot of people prepare for these things and just study.
Well, of course
study,
they prepare.
But I wouldn't necessarily call those people scholars. Scholars have original thinking. These people are just have, they're just loaded with information that they can obtain through memory or reading or something. So it's kind of interesting about that. It's the same thing with, you were talking about undertow. Now, if you look at the very beginning of the world according to Carr, it talks about the main character talking about the undertow in the ocean and how to be leery of it. And he thought it was a big toad in the ocean drowning. But when I hear the word undertow, I think at the beginning of that book, John Irving, I think it was The World According to Carr, or it was one of the books he did, but I think that's what it was.
They made it a movie with Robin Williams, right?
You could look at the very opening chapter.
Am I right?
Yeah, it was
Robin Williams.
I think it was Robin Williams.
It was Robin Williams.
Undertow would be synonymous with the word under would apply to past life karma. And the word undertow would apply to the whole of that karma nearly drowning a person. So some of us have good karma, right? And so we come in with really good karma, but we still have to come back to the earth to complete things and work through things, transcend it.
Right, and you deal with death. I mean, you know, even
did,
if you have
you
good
find
karma.
The beginning of the paragraph?
No, I can.
World according to Carr.
But I mean, even if you have good karma, you know, you have people that die, you know, that your family, grandparents, parents.
Well, the fact that you came back, the fact that you come
to
back
deal
is
with
going
death.
To be some requirement of karma that isn't always going to be positive, but you can come back with positive karma overall. Then there's degrees of that karma. Now, in an undertow, you know, it's different than a riptide. A riptide you can swim out of if you go either left or right. So that in karma, you can get out of karma if you rethink differently. So some people have karma, and what they do with their karma is that they rethink or redesign their thinking or their attitude, and they find that the karma is gone. They solve their problem. that would be more like a metaphorical riptide. And if they continue to be negative experiencing karma, then they're pulled more out to sea. In other words, you can't fight a riptide. All you can do is swim to the left or right of it.
So I found... Go ahead.
Oh, did you find it? Once
I did find the script, but it's not... I don't know if it's on the right page.
Not the script, the novel.
The novel?
The novel.
The
opening...
Obviously, the novel's going to be different from the script, but I don't know if it might be a PDF, and it could be... I don't know.
You could just write in...
Yeah, but see, this is...
And see what comes up. Okay, so that would be, metaphorically, that would be the riptide. You're swimming left or right. You have karma that you find is manageable. Even if it's difficult, you find that you can overcome the karma by acting a certain way and not just fighting it with negativity over and over again. An undertow, metaphorically, is worse karma. Now that, and in oceans, undertow is will pull you down.
Yeah, it drowns a lot of people.
That pulls you down. It's a force that pulls you down under the water. Riptides just pull you out. And eventually, riptides give up. I mean, you can get pulled out by a riptide and eventually not fight it and not swim left or right, but it will eventually release you to maybe a mile from shore, but it does release you. Undertow pulls you down. And undertow, metaphorically in karma, would be the kind of karma, like you were suggesting, that just drowns people. It's overwhelming. And people who have undertow karma, typically, I mean, they commit suicide, they fall under drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, she's got, that person has undertow karma.
Would there be a paragraph of that?
Well, it's not a paragraph. I found the first sentence. Garp's mother, Jenny Fields, was arrested in Boston in 1942 for wounding a man in a movie theater, which is not, so I would have to find the first paragraph, but it's not giving me opening paragraph. It's not, and I don't see a PDF.
Well, you could talk
about, let me see if I can find a PDF.
World According to Garp, undertow, and it will probably come up.
So many suggestions. Undertowed. Undertowed.
Yeah, he thinks it's a big toad.
What is the undertowed in the world? The undertowed is the larger than life creatures Garp's young son Walt imagined sucking him down under the water every summer since being warned to watch out for the undertow. So I don't know where it occurs in the book. I'm sure it's where he said.
It's in the beginning. But
I'm sure it is, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I recall. It was in that novel.
And it's in the movie as well, but it's, you have
to
watch the scene.
It would have to be the main point.
Yeah.
So the kid confuses undertow with undertowed, and
yeah, and
thinks
it was
some creature
Robert
that
Williams
will suck him down under. But as we were saying in our metaphor, karma does come with different degrees and different forces. And if you have an undertow karma, you typically will experience the person drinking, committing suicide, being overly depressed. There seems to be no help for these people because the karma is so powerful. Can you imagine karma being a sort of living energy that follows a person throughout their lifetimes?
Right, but it's a living energy that's not, I mean, it doesn't have, it's very cold. It doesn't have emotion. I mean, it's a living energy without emotion. It's cold. It's either this or that. That's it.
Even if it's good karma.
Even if it's good karma. That's what I was trying to explain to
you. But can you imagine this karma? And as soon as you come back to the planet.
No, we don't have to imagine it because we exist in it.
As soon as you come back to the planet, it's there. It belongs to you. Now, whether it could, you know, maybe it just stays within the soul. Probably that's it. It doesn't like you're born and then it's standing by the doorway ready to jump on you. It's in your soul. Your soul contains karma. So, and the result of your soul containing karma, if it's bad karma, then your body is going to experience it.
Well, this is.
And if it's bad karma, then ultimately your spirit suffers because it's going to be remaining attached to your soul and body until that karma's
completely gone.
And this is the difficult thing too, because, you know, in this conversation, actually, I was having a conversation with this person on Thursday, and then I was talking to this person again on Friday about a certain situation she's going through, and I'm not going to give details, but the problem is with her situation that she's facing, aside from the fact that she's had extreme karma throughout her life, which has caused a lot of disruptions in a normal life flow, you know, homelessness, drugs, abuse, all kinds of stuff. But the problem that she's facing now involves having to address a problem that involves, I'm trying to be discreet about how to talk about this. She has to present a case. This is possibly a legal case for her. And so dealing with the negative aspects of that legal case while trying to put out positive energy at the same time that things are going to go okay for this other party that's involved, it's difficult because obviously you want to be, when you're dealing with a situation that's, you're going after someone legally and you're building your offense, you want to be very strong and bring out all the negative things that happened. Yet at the same time, I was saying to her, you got to stay really positive, because if you put out negative energy, it's going to harm the subject. You know, the more you focus on what went wrong is going to be detrimental to the recovery of this individual being that she's dealing with.
Well,
so
yeah, I mean, there is the art of persuasion and the art of argument, and you can take courses in it.
Well, yeah, but there's got to be a balance.
How to argue, how to debate, how to present a case. It's a skill, and it can be learned. But there are also gifted orators who just have that certain inbred grace of
inbred
language.
We're talking
yeah
about inbred now?
Yeah, inbred. It can actually be part of the DNA within a family when you have people who are...
Inbred?
In bread. I mean, we're bakers, so that's why we're using the metaphor.
What?
In bread.
Oh.
We're constantly in bread.
You are.
Big bread winners. But, you know, and that's another
Neil
thing.
Loves bread. That's
why call someone rich a bread winner? Bread is a staple. Season, one of the lowest items on the grocery list. And it's a basic. But to be a breadwinner, I mean, what they say, you're a gold winner. I mean, they do say that. The flower says it too, gold medal.
Gold medal.
But breadwinner, is that a compliment that you're a breadwinner?
Well, it means that you're able to pay for meals.
Yeah,
you know,
I know it means, you know.
There's money to support a family.
Or you can pay for the bread. But basically speaking, that's saying you can pay for a poor human's diet. You know, bread used to be 10 cents. Weber's bread was 10 cents when I was a kid. I'll never forget when somebody was leaning down in front of the bread department. They're on their knees.
Oh, my.
There's old man
rated
walked
X
by and said, oh, get up off your knees. Praying isn't going to increase the prices.
Huh.
It was just out of the blue said that. But we're getting off the topic.
Okay. Yeah, what was a surprise.
So
this is a psychic show, Neil, remember.
So the idea of the karma being undertow as opposed to riptide, most of us have riptide karma. Most of us have that, where we have certain karma we have to work through. And for the most part, we learn how to work around karma or get through it. Undertow karma, a lot of people on the streets, homeless, have undertow karma. I mean, they may have riptide karma in terms of the way they survive, but undertow karma usually brushes against something rather fatal, overwhelming. And people who have undertow karma, it's hard to talk sense to them because they hear the words, they can be inspired, but it's rather hopeless. So it's a good grief moment, you know. Charlie Brown had riptide karma, good grief. But those who have undertowed karma, people who end up really eliminating their lives because they just can't handle it anymore. And for the most part, a large percentage of people who commit suicide do so under stress or depression. If you notice, a lot of people who have a death warrant, like a disease, they don't commit suicide. They might do an assisted death, and there might be a few people. I know Brian Keith, the actor Brian Keith, was given a cancer diagnosis, and he just said the heck with it, and he shot himself in the head. That's what the papers say. So he shot himself in the head, knowing that he had a death warrant of health. But for the most part, the majority of suicides are not committed due to a death warrant. They're committed due to a misery warrant. They're a misery. They're not going to die, but they're in a state of undertow. They're in a state of feeling overwhelmed by being in the planet. No matter what the reasons are, it could be 100 reasons. That's the undertow. And it exists on our planet. But, you know, the fortunate thing is it exists on our planet, but it exists within individual souls. So the guy next door to you that you've been talking to, and he sneezed on you and he coughed on you and he commits suicide, you're not going to commit suicide. You can't catch it. It's in your soul. Can you imagine your soul carrying all this karma throughout all these lifetimes that you've been in? And it's mixed up with good things, bad things. But when the bad things get overwhelming and you're assigned to go back to the planet again, Earth, with an overload of karma, this is why people end their lives. Because the karma will not, like Kristen said, it won't show pity. It's a town without pity. It won't show you pity. It just says, this is it. And what do you do? I mean, we try to advise people, you got to live your life out to the end. Because now if you commit suicide with this overabundance of karma, guess
then
what?
It's like,
you come back again for the most part.
Wow.
Unless you find some angel up there that says, well, work it out on the astral realm, don't worry, don't go back. But that's the exception. That's the exception.
Well, yeah, I mean, when does that exception happen?
A couple times. I've encountered spirits that did not have to come back.
Not have to come back, and they committed suicide.
They committed suicide, and they worked out whatever karma they had
on the astral realm.
On the astral plane. But that, what
and they
that?
Never had to
that
return,
like,
ever in a physical body. The soul never
I
had
don't
to
know
return.
About that, but they work it out. But that would be like a bunch of school kids getting on the bus and going to Disneyland for the whole day and night, and one kid can only go in the parking lot. He has to stay in the parking lot and do homework. That's kind of like what it's like to be on the astral realm working out your issues. It's not a pleasurable thing.
Well, I mean, it's better than coming. Would you rather be on the bus in the astral realm or come back to the planet in a body?
Some people, you know, being on the astral realm, it's to be on a low level of the astral realm just doesn't mean you don't. It just means you've omitted all the energies of the physical body. But your emotional, your energy level is still going to be the same. And so imagine if you're totally depressed and you're miserable, but you just don't have to eat and go to the bathroom anymore. but you're still miserable.
And you don't have physical pain.
Yeah, you don't have to wake up and go. But the idea of the soul, the idea of the soul having to work out karma, sometimes without the body, can be more miserable than with the body. So it's not a good situation in any respect. And I don't know, you know, what the determining factors are up there in terms of people who have horrible karma and they die with horrible karma, die with a suicide, whether they come back or not to work it out, or whether they work it out in the astral realm. It's still a very difficult terrain for the soul itself. But I think before that, you've got to consider that you're carrying inside your body tons and tons and tons of energy from who knows how, could be many lifetimes. And you're carrying all that within your energy, and a lot of it is something you have to work through. Now, there are certain common denominators about karma. What are they? Toilet training, learning how to tie your shoe, going to school, learning how to walk.
I mean, that of course applies to those who are born able-bodied and don't have such severe karma that they're like in an iron lung at the age of six.
Yeah, that's
like that guy.
Sub-karma. That's sub-level karma. But for the majority of people, everybody has a common denominator. And breathing, coughing, whatever. Everybody has a common denominator of karma, where we all start off on the same plane. Maybe that's why they say all humans are created equal. Well,
yeah, well, that would be the only way we could.
That's a false statement. I mean, they're not created equal.
Back to the iron lung.
They're
well,
not
we
created
are.
Equal.
Yeah, got to bring that in.
And if you think they are, somebody out there is going to prove you're wrong. People are not created equal. Maybe in the idea that there's a sperm and an egg, and before the actual birth, as it reaches an embryo, there's an embryo, a fetus, and then a baby. Maybe the embryo, or maybe somewhere in there, were created equal. But even there can be complications already starting. And it's not to say that an embryo who has rich, loving parents and an embryo who ultimately will have mean, horrible parents, women on crack, I mean, they're created equal. So it's a false statement. It's a nice statement, but it's false. There isn't any truth to it. So when we get into that, then we have to go, well, then why isn't it? My statement would be all human beings are created with karma. All human beings are created with karma.
Someone made a comment.
Yeah. That would be more accurate because there's no equality here, none whatsoever. And you can't fashion it with, well, there's the word opportunity, you know, you create who you are. No, no, no. It has nothing to do with how we are created. So somebody up there made a big mistake by allowing that to be in our Constitution, inalienable rights. Okay, so.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, all men weren't created equal at that time anyway. If we're talking about like slavery and ownership of, you know, Native Americans.
Total hypocrisy. Human beings are
African Americans.
There's nothing
more
hypocritical than a human being. They're disgusting. We should be ashamed of ourselves as a species that if we think that one is better than the other, one race is better than the other, and then you know all we have are warring sides that go in multiple different directions. But some people are idealistic.
Some men are idealistic. Women, not women, because they don't have brains.
But
no, not women.
You know, you always, you know, you have one bad apple. It's just not a uniform situation. Go ahead.
No, I go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you're going to say something.
Well, I was going to say, I guess the conversation was predicated originally. I mean, we were getting into this whole idea of karma and the undertow, but also there was, you know, what I was talking about, how words will enter your consciousness and then manifest, or ideas will enter your consciousness and then manifest somehow in the physical reality, not by you, not by your own volition, but just somehow start to appear. It's very strange. Undertow being the example of that word being used, and then it coming up on the game show, and the golden calf being something that I saw on the wall doing third eye exercise, and then coming up on a game show, on the same game show. It was weird. You know, it's kind of how psychic energy works.
Well, a golden calf is a contradiction in terms too, because when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, Israelites were
Israelites.
The men in tights and the women in skirts, but they weren't. You know, he supposedly he came down. It was a massive orgy, and how
what?
They.
Yeah, yeah, oh, because
down.
Of
so
the,
comes
yeah.
He down from Mount Sinai after being up there. He's holding the tablets. Mel Brooks said there were 15 tablets, and then suddenly he dropped one. So he sees this big, gigantic orgy going on, and who knows what else was he was looking at. But then they had created this cap out of molten gold. So they burnt, and where they got it, how they did all this, and formed it into a calf. Who the hell knows? I mean, some of this sounds like storybook stuff. So he's so mad, he throws the tablets at the golden calf. But here the golden calf was representing the lack of faith in God.
This is terrible. What religion worships the golden calf? This is the internet, the Jews. This is what it says. That is really bad. Talk about anti-Semitism rampant.
Well,
I mean, that's pretty bad.
Well, Trump isn't Jewish. But the idea...
But the point is that, you know, Jews present day worship the golden calf. And obviously the golden calf is a sign of idolatry. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, I mean, it in the Bible, it's representative of what's to come. Look at everybody in the golden calf in modern day. I mean, we're not worshiping a golden calf, but... You know,
well, I don't know. You know, the idea could have
worship
been that,
money. We have what, color,
the idea
know,
that,
that
could have been that they sacrificed a calf, and maybe somebody had a gold ring or something.
Well, maybe they sacrificed
a
calf.
I don't know if they literally
dipped it in gold. Who knows?
Yeah, where they got the gold? And, I don't know. You know, they were slaves.
So 916 does not have his or her hand raised. 916, and I believe this person was just listening. No, let's bring this person on. Hold on.
Yeah, you're right. I was just listening today.
You're just listening?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
So, you know what? But what? How did we get onto this? Oh, you were talking about.
I was talking about seeing the golden calf and then having it mentioned on Jeopardy the same night, and same thing an hour earlier using the word undertow, which is not a word I commonly use, and then undertow coming up on as an answer. Two of the things that I've been, you know, I mentioned a word, then I 2 days or a day before I saw the golden calf.
That's psychic vocabulary. That's a phenomena that we sometimes experience, where we say a word and then the word appears. The old fortune tellers would sometimes, when they were giving a fortune, they would simply open up a book, and the first word they saw on the page, they would base their prophecy on that word. I mean, there's all kinds of maneuvers that they did in those ancient days. But the idea that that we should think of the concept of what is karma. Because when you really think about it, you're going to find a hard time getting out of the idea that we're all created equal if you don't already understand that concept as it is. Unfortunately, we're not all created equal. But we are all created to a certain extent. Pick up your cross and follow me, all that kind of metaphorical speaking. We all have our own burdens to contend with. And sometimes the poorest human being on the planet does better than the richest man on the planet, who ends up committing suicide anyways.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. Sorry, it was not. Hold on. Interesting you bring that up, because you're talking about all men being created equal, and then you think about people that are, you know, born into wealth and they have all these advantages. Families like the Kennedys, for example, but look at the tragedy in that family, you know, all these deaths, murders, premature or otherwise. I mean, you know, the royal family of the United States, one of the royal families of the United States, with a terrible, terrible line of karma running through it, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, there are people that are just destitute, but they have their Bibles and, you know, each other, and they're happy.
Yeah, I mean, sure. And karma is not an ancient word. It doesn't go back that far in terms of history. So it's more of a, it's not a contemporary word, but it's not necessarily an ancient word. I believe it was India. That came up with the word, actual word karma.
Well, yeah, and dharma, which is a word we never use on the show, dharma are the good works that you do to try to reduce karma. Dharma.
I thought Dharma Hood was in the Little Rascals. maybe I'm mistaken.
Okay, we have.
Go ahead. Caller.
Were you going to say something to Jennifer? But did you want to say something before we
no,
bring on?
No, she's going to present us with a lot of karma concepts. I want to hear them.
Oh. she demurely laughed.
The laugh of the devil.
That's funny. Okay. I didn't hear the "you're on now" thing, so I was just laughing to myself. here's my question. I know that there's a couple of people that think I'm an asshole at work.
You're going in and out. You're going in and out.
I'll take my keyboard. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I mean, headsets aren't good. But anyway, go ahead. So people don't like you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So some people don't like me, but I don't care so much because they're entitled to their opinion. However, should it be something that I work towards or address, or do I just let it go?
Well, one, you're working remotely?
Most of the time.
So sometimes you're interacting with these people for your face. Yeah. Thank you for filling in aphasia brain. Okay. Well, I mean, is there any specific person you want to ask about, or is this just a general question? 4370-24/6
There is one person that's sticking out in my mind. There are a lot of people who are, Pentecostal at my workplace. And I don't know if it has something to do with, you know, them knowing that I read tarot or that sort of thing, or if they just don't like my energy, disposition, that sort of thing.
Did you discuss religion with them or, like, your alternative beliefs?
No, but I haven't hidden it, so it's not like a secret.
So your question is, I mean, this is not, I mean, it's not really a psychic question. It's fine. You can ask anything you want.
Yeah.
Okay, go. What?
It is because I'm looking for an outcome. Is there any point in addressing? I tried addressing something with the one woman once, and she said I was off-putting.
You were what?
That I was off-putting. Yeah, that was an interesting. I've never been called off-putting before, but it was an interesting term. But would there be any point to, you know, trying to seek some sort of? It's not like we have to work directly with each other. Most of them, I sort of have my own thing that I need to do. So, is it worthwhile for me to address it, or should I just, you know, let it go?
Personally, if you don't have to work with them that often and you don't think, I mean, it sounds like there's very little you have in common with these people. If it's just some kind of awkwardness, my answer would be no. Why would you open something up unless there's something that might threaten your position because of the interaction that you have with them? But that's my personal take, opinion. Neil might have another perspective.
I'm still a little bit lost.
She's wondering whether she should make an effort to try to get along better with these people, but she feels this sense of awkwardness with at her job. I mean, she doesn't work with them very often because she works remotely, but she senses they don't like her, perhaps because they have different religious beliefs. Or maybe it's something else.
Well, there's usually an advantage to trying to work with people than there would be to oppose.
But then she has to bring up a whole topic. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well,
what is she going to say? Well, we have differing religious beliefs. Let's get on the same page.
Well, it all depends on what her... To work with them doesn't mean there's only one way to do it. So...
Well, she does work with them. I mean, they're working together.
But what are they doing? I understand. What are they doing to her?
It's just, what are they doing? I mean, it's to me, what I'm getting is it's just a vibe that you're picking up.
It's a vibe I'm picking up. When I tried to address it, I was told that is off-putting. Yeah. So
they find you offensive. They find you offensive in some way.
Yes, they find me offensive in some way.
Well, I would say, if it was me, I would say, what, explain to me, enlighten me. What do you mean by off-putting? What is it I'm saying that you have objection to? And why do you have objection to it? So what am I saying you have objection to? And then explain why you have objection to it. That's what I would say.
Okay.
And listen to them, to see what they say. Well, we don't believe... in the way you think, and we think tarot cards or we think you're too psychic and the Bible says that's bad. Say, well, fine, but that's who I am. That's what I am. I can't help it. I'm not going to reduce that to accommodate you.
Religion has no place in the workplace. I mean, unless you're in a place that is a religious workplace.
I mean, say something to what? Do you know what off-putting statement you made to them?
I asked her. I said, "Are you okay?" And it was like it was the most offensive because I could tell by her body. Like this one woman, I could tell by her body, and she's a lot younger than me, that something had upset her. I was trying to reach out and see if she was overwhelmed or whatever, if I could help her out, and no. I said, well, your demeanor would indicate otherwise. And she says, you pointing out that out is very off-putting to me.
What?
I'm like, okay.
Pointing that out, that my demeanor is this way is very off-putting to me. Well, that's why, I don't know. I mean, then you're just opening up another can of worms again. When did this happen?
Yeah. Probably about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but what did you experience that made you say that? What were you?
She walked down the hallway. She wouldn't, and there's one hallway where, you know, there's no avoiding somebody. You have to pass each other. And I said good morning, and she just kept her head down, and, you know, like made some sort of grunting noise. So that's when I went over to her while she was doing something and asked her, you know, are you okay? You know, and then that's when I apparently upset her. So I'm not sure.
So,
and I dismissed it because I thought, well, you know what, everybody's entitled to their, you know, opinion, their day, whatever. But but I know that not everyone's going to like us, but I hate the idea that, you know, by asking her if she was okay and I was off-putting, like I don't want to give that impression to anyone else. And I don't, you know, I don't want to make her feel like, you know, I'm her enemy, because that's not, you know, a cohesive workplace. I don't think.
Well,
anyway,
you could say that. You could say, you know, I feel there's tension, you know, there's tension between us, and I don't want there to be this feeling that I don't like you, that we, you know, we may have differing, you know, lifestyles or viewpoints, but we work together and we should work in a cohesive manner. I mean, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
What? I mean, if you said hello to her and she put her head down and apparently was rude and didn't acknowledge you, that's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But something had to,
yeah, sure. Yeah.
That something had to precede that. There was I mean, why would she put her head down? Was there something that happened at an earlier time that you recall where she?
Not that I know of, not that I'm aware of.
Well, I don't know. You know, if you say hello to somebody, the polite thing is that people say hello back, and that's polite.
Correct.
And if they don't,
right,
you know, if I say hello to somebody and they don't answer back or anything, I kind of shrug my shoulders and go,
right,
well, I'm not going to let that ruin my day.
Right.
Yeah, I don't care what they're, you know. But if you approach,
yeah,
and go, well, what's wrong? Why are you, you know, ignoring me? Why are you showing me disrespect? Why are you insulting me by your attitude like that? I said hello, and, you know, it's nice to say hello back. And they go, well, you're off-putting. You know,
okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say, no, I'm still eating pudding. It's in my diet. I'm not off-putting at all. In fact, I like pudding.
Oh, you,
yeah,
said pudding, not pudding.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm that kind of a person that would do that.
Yeah.
You know.
What do what?
I would say I'm not off pudding. I'm still eating pudding.
Oh.
Are you off the wagon? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're still on the wagon.
I know,
that's
but this,
your
is,
attitude,
yeah, this is the workplace, though. I mean, you know,
well,
this is
I
her workplace.
Well, I would still do it in the workplace. I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But,
but it may not work.
I don't know.
Favor.
You know, people, listen, in life, you can be a certain color. You can be a certain nationality. And you can be off-putting. You know, there are people who I know in high school, the big bullies would just look at anyone and target them as a target that they make fun of. They would just start picking on people.
Right, but this isn't a place where she's being picked on. She's being shunned. It's a little bit different. I mean, it's not aggressive. It's passive aggressive. Yeah. Right.
Well,
this is passive aggression.
And there's other ways to approach it. I mean, you know, you either have a moderator and you talk to the person, or you just ignore it.
Or you just ignore it and go about your day. I mean, the problem is that if you have a moderator, which probably, if you're going to address it, Jennifer, I think probably addressing it with your supervisor and saying, listen, this is not the type of workplace that you don't want to say that, but, you know, what's happening in the workplace is not making me feel comfortable in the workplace. So I need to, you know, I need to work this out with someone who is a superior, because I don't know, you know, what I've done. And then you all sit down. I don't know if it's wise to just approach the person on, you know, again, on your own. I don't think you're going to get anywhere. I don't think you're going to get anywhere.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's kind of, you're confirming what I kind of already think. I'll just go if she ever decides. I really, life is like a game of tennis. The ball's in her court, you know. She can either volley it back or, you know, let it just sit there. So that's ultimately her choice. And, you know, everyone else is cordial, and that's the way it is. And it's not like she carries any weight or anything like that. It's just I don't like my people. I don't like being disliked. But at the same time, I'm not going to change who I am to conform to, you know, whatever it is that she has in her head of what people should be. That's, yeah, that's, I think, life. We shouldn't change ourselves for everybody.
You know, you also have to kind of, sometimes you have to look at what is my karma in a workplace. You know, just for my own personal thoughts, is this some kind of karma I have with this person? Is it go deeper? And, you know, they may not apply on a surface level, but as long as we're talking about the soul, I mean, you know, the person who shoots somebody after taking their wallet and they end up shooting him, they had nothing against the person.
Well, I mean, you can even
karma,
bring that to the workplace.
Karma gets really involved and dense in terms of what happens to us in regards to our connections to other human beings.
Well, look what happened. I mean, you know, going postal, perfect example, you know.
Yeah. True.
All kinds of things can happen in the workplace.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, not that we're suggesting that would happen in your workplace, but when you're looking at the karmic conditions in the workplace, then you have to consider things.
It sounds to me like an unfulfilled episode, because if she says, well, you're off-putting, I would say, well, can you explain? What do you mean? What do you mean?
I think it was tinged with such disgust that I think the best things that I did was walk away from that conversation.
It would have been like then. And obviously, I mean, not that you can't revisit it, but it's just awkward.
Yeah.
I think revisiting it on a one-on-one basis, if there's really a problem, then you need someone to moderate it.
You're not able to share anything prior to that was going on. Why she would arrive at that.
There could have been something, but it's not anything that I'm, you know, cognizant of. Prior to that, I was, you know, good morning, you know, how are you doing, you know, complimenting her on whatever it was she was doing, you know, that sort of thing. So now it's like something transpired, but I don't know what it is, and it's, the ball is in her court. So,
well, I mean, you can always.
I'm not going to ignore her. I'll continue, you know, being nice, being friendly, and that's all I can do.
Right. If something else happens, then maybe you have more ammunition, if you will, to address it. If she continues to ignore you, maybe you decide to, you know, address it.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Sorry,
I appreciate
you. Yeah, we're sorry. It always sucks when people are rude.
Yeah. The only thing you can do is control yourself. You can't control other people, right?
That's right. Well, it's a good attitude to have. Okay. Well, thanks, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Bye.
You too. Bye. Okay. We are back on the air. I don't know. Maybe 11 next week. That might be a better time for us to broadcast. And yeah, hope everyone has a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.